Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 151. Happy Coffee Club Day, everyone. So the boys are actually all back on Europe. I think, is Malta on the same time zone, George, or no?
Yes, I believe I'm on the same time zone. We're all.
Yes.
Hey, you guys might think you're on the same time zone. I am not physically on the same time zone. I'm fucked right now.
Ollie got in yesterday from America. Had to wake up for the podcast, which we do commend him for doing that, very much so. braving the jet lag. But yeah, we're all back in Europe, which is nice to be on the same time zone to record for sure. And we all have different stories to bring you all today. So I think we'll just get into it and we'll start off in a familiar spot, throwing over to George for the hashtag Gooch Watch.
Gooch Watch Maltese edition. Malta might be the randomest place I've ever been, I think. I've just been on the lookout for Jordan Guzman, but no sign of him yet.
He's there somewhere.
He must be here somewhere. It's like the smallest island I've ever been to. But I had a wonderful time in Sardinia. That place is unbelievably beautiful. Like, definitely the best water I've ever swum in / looked into. It's just like, I don't know how the water can be that clear there. It's
just like glassy blue.
Yeah, it's unreal. That place is incredible. Had an awesome week there, healing the Gooch. And now I've been in Malta for a day and a half. And it's just so random. It's just like a tiny rock in the sea. And it was weird. We came from one day, an hour flight, drove the rental car to the airport in Sardinia, dropped it off, picked up rental car here, other side of the road.
That is weird.
This was a British colony, I think, a British colony. I guess New Zealand and Australia, so they drive on the left. So that was a bit of a wake-up call. But I've just been doing all the driving because I think Jenna's too scared to drive on the left after being there. Fair. And just here for a couple more days and checking out some beaches. And the Gooch Watch is, we're 4 weeks, I think 4 weeks since the Olympics. And I think made a little bit of progress in the last week in terms of the actual bone stress area, which is nice. I've started doing a little bit of loading on it kind of a few days ago, just some light exercises from Jason, just to get things moving and load it a little bit in the next couple of weeks before starting on the boost back in Boulder. So
what do those exercises look like? Is that in the gym or just even less?
I mean, body weight, some pretty basic hamstring, hip bridge stuff and a little bit of core stuff and just some even basic walking drills, mobilize hips and that's my doing. Yeah, just really light adductor kind of loading. Almost not even loading. Literally just activating adductors, hamstrings. Just kind of stuff that attaches around there. And so keeping things pretty light for the next week. And then the plan is to go the full recommended 6 weeks off before getting on the boost, which I think that's always what they tell you after a bone stress injury. I don't think I've ever actually taken the full 6 weeks. But that's because the last time I had one, I did my sacrum before Tokyo Olympics in the spring, and I was trying to qualify for the Olympics. So obviously I rushed it a lot more, and I got back on the boost definitely way before 6 weeks, I think. And was obviously cross training way more, because I then raced in April, but now that it's September and I'm in absolutely no rush to get on a start line or to kind of risk anything. Going to take the full 6 weeks, which is such a long time. Going to be starting at square one, I guess. But
it's going to be so interesting for you.
It's been a while since then. I mean, I guess you took a lot of time off. Was that 18 months ago? Started last year, right? Like February, March of 2023.
Yeah, January. End of January, I took 3 months off and it was brutal. Looking back on it, in the moment, I think it is, as you just said, a different headspace if you're injured in January versus being injured in August, where you're really way more in the thick of it. And so you're not thinking about it with such a holistic perspective. You're just like, all right, I got to cross train. I got to do this every day. But looking back on it, we just run so much every day. We're just so used to that. So when you take, you know, a month plus off, it just changes things. But I mean, I also didn't have you've had consistent training for such a high level for so long now, which I didn't even really have that, like, going into that injury. So I think that also will make a difference in your favor.
Ollie, how long did you have off in July, August last year? Did you take 6 weeks?
6 weeks off, like, what type of training?
Well, from London Diamond League, or I guess from when you left Emirates to your first boost run.
Let me think. The boost was an interesting one because I couldn't use it because of my OP area was like kind of. Didn't so really I like swam it. A lot. So I didn't really take much time off in the sense of like doing cross training, like swimming and any sort of training. I was straight back on it, but I didn't do the boost until I was back in America, which would have been September, so about a month. And then I got off the boost quite quickly, a couple of weeks. Oh, I'd run every other day and then did my sacrum in November and then ran on the boost, started running on the boost after Christmas up to pretty much May. Last time I was on the boost was May. So, yeah, it was a bit of a weird. Mine was a bit weird because I got injured, which was something that I couldn't really use the boost for. And then I got injured where I definitely could use the boost for. So it kind of changed my usage of the boost from a little bit to a lot.
I guess that's what I'll find out when I get back, whether the boost will be a useful tool or not. I assume it'll be good.
I think it'll be fine.
The plan is to get on there in 2 weeks' time. So the European summer's coming to an end for George. But that's actually what has been nice about the headspace thing is that if I was just in, it's nice to be out of Boulder where it just feels like you need to be training the whole time. Like being because Boulder's where we live and train and it mostly feels like a training base. So then if you're there but you can't train, I feel like that's more difficult.
Definitely. So
that's been nice.
Do you have any cross training aspirations, like anything you're looking forward to? Will you be able to actually go on bike rides or stuff? Or would that also just be like, let's see how it feels?
I've been wondering about that. The only swimming feels not good, even in the experiments, just jumping in the water, because it's always been like the hip extension has been really painful the whole time. Like that's kind of what prevented me from running. Like, in the first place was like I literally just couldn't extend my hip, so kicking is like impossible still. Like I can still feel a bit if I like kick back, so swimming is like I just have to swim with my arms basically, which also made the elliptical, I haven't tried it obviously, but the elliptical, like I couldn't use the elliptical in Saint Moritz because it was too painful, which is also not a great sign. How much I was trying to run the Olympics and I couldn't physically use an elliptical, which no impact, but I could use the bike.
That makes sense, I guess.
Because it's just you don't extend your hip as much. But I'm not sure if that was ideal because I was literally like sitting on my sit bone, which is what was the injury. So I don't know if that was good or not. But I assume when I get back, I think biking will be the best option. So maybe I'll dust the bike off. It's like the best time of year in Boulder to get out on the bike, like early fall.
So I want to go for a bike. We can go for a bike.
I'm going bike riding. When I get back,
let's all go bike riding.
Coffee club rides. coming in September. Get
up the mountain. We'll get up that mountain. October.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do a ward ride or something.
That'd be fun.
Try and be Clicker's time. We'll be on that Strava leaderboard of climbing ward.
Those Strava leaderboards are pretty competitive.
The one up ward is insane. Like I think Sam Long has the course record from the bottom of the canyon up towards like 17 miles. And I think he averages like 17 or 18 miles an hour, I think, for like, I don't know how many thousand feet climb that is. Like 4,000 feet or something, isn't it?
It's a lot. And especially at the end, the gradient is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's also anyway. The thing is, if you're one of us, going down is the scary part as well, because it's like you're literally descending a mountain.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be a very good bike rider if you want to go down fast.
So, yeah. But that'll be fun. Some things to look forward to. Happy to hear that you're actually finally getting some progress.
This is my last podcast in Europe, actually, because I'm traveling next Monday. Sad. Next one, I'll just be in the studio. On my own. I'll just go sit down there.
So jealous.
Can I bring Gus on?
I miss that place.
Yeah, Gus is currently Gus update. I got to see him when I was home. He was very happy, chunky, ready for a nice long time with his owner. But I had to go back. I have unfinished business this season. So he's now been looked after by Jackson, who is my girlfriend's brother, and he's an absolute homie. He's actually house sitting my place because I bought all these new plants. So he's looking after my big old cactus and a few other things. So thank you, Jackson, for that. He listens to the pod, so listens to at work, avoiding doing work. So, but yeah, he's looking after Gus. So if Gus, I can like get you guys in touch if you want to bring Gus over and he can come hang out with, because I know Jenna would also love to see him. So. But he's doing well. He's actually he's just chilling. He's vibing. He's enjoying his time. So, but you might need some company down there, George, in the basement. So I might have to bring Gus.
All right, I'll pencil that in.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's gonna be a while till we're all in Boulder, though, right? Because
over a month still.
Oof. Yeah, so we won't really be recording together for quite a while. But that'll be nice once we get back together. It'll be a nice nice feeling.
The studio is just so nice.
It's nice.
It's so convenient. Yes.
It's our happy place, you know? It's the podcast happy place. So yeah, I cannot wait to get back there. But in the meantime, we do what we can. And I think not bad.
It is good.
Yeah, it's nice to still be able to connect like this. But yeah, I think I'll go next because Ollie is obviously back in Zurich for a race tomorrow, but I raced this past week in Italy. I've been in Italy, I guess, for a while now, doing my tour of Italy. And yeah, on, I think it was Friday. Yeah. Last Friday, I had the pleasure of racing in the Rome Diamond League, and it was a really cool meet overall. There was a lot of events there. I felt as if that, you know, they have to, because I think for every event, they have to do it a minimum amount of times during the season. So I felt like they were just like, there are all these events, especially like a lot of field events that they're like, shit, we got to just like get these in now. Because there was like, you know, a discus and a shot put. There was just like, there's just like a lot of stuff that I feel like you normally wouldn't see together. But I was there for the 5K and the 5,000 meters. And Cinta was also there racing the women's 1500. So it was very nice to be there together. And doing the pre-meet, I have to say, like, one of my highlights was taking the box. You know, a bucket list item for me as a runner was going and running at the warm-up track at Rome. I think it's called like the Stadio de Marmi with all the statues.
For those who haven't, should just race there.
It's like, it's so cool.
It's so cool.
60 statues of these hot, muscly men. They're like massive. They must be all like 2.5 meters tall. Like they're massive statues. So they're sick. So it's just such good vibes, you know, for Rome. It's like, you feel like you're literally like about to walk into the Colosseum. But as I said last week, I was going into this one, and I did have a little bit of worry about my form and how it would go after being sick, because I just wasn't sure how that had affected me, because I hadn't been able to work out like properly since the Olympics, really, like do a full workout. And I knew this race was going to be a very hard race regardless, even if I was showing up in my top form. And but nonetheless, at this point in the year, there's not many opportunities, so it was just, all right, let's get in the best headspace possible, get ready to race, ready to give it everything, and you don't know how it's going to go. And that is how I went into the race, and I was happy that I was able to get to that place and feel confident that I was going to be able to race well. But unfortunately, it did not play out how I wanted. It was a classic Diamond League. I think at this point in the season, like post-Olympics, every single Diamond League, they want to set the world record in every single event. And especially when you have the names that were on the start list for this one, with a lot of the best Ethiopians and just a lot of the best talent in general, they're like, all right, these guys have run really quick before. Let's set the pace for 60.5, which is through 400, which is very quick. It's under, I think, 735. Under 735 going, well, no, it's about 735 exactly, I think, going through 3K, which is quicker than they went through in Oslo, I think, to run 1236, which is what they ran there. So the meet's just like, they just want to go for the home runs. And the thing is, not every race is going to be able to do that. And with this race in particular, Rome is warm. It's 35 degrees during the day, and our race wasn't until 10 p.m., but it's still warm and humid conditions to run a world record 5K, I would say. So the fact that they wanted that pace, I think, was a little bit silly. And what that means, unfortunately, for someone like me, who is not in the shape to go out in that pace, it means that I'm stuck in no man's land. And luckily, I had a few others to run with. Shout out to Mike Foppen and Hugo Hay, but it's just not ideal. You want to be, if you're, you know, a 13-minute runner or just under, you want to be running a lot closer to that pace. And so we went out at that pace through a K, and we were trading the lead, which is actually pretty nice, like between us. We were trying to swap off. But then I think in the second K, like I could just feel the pace dropping. And, you know, I kept going to the front and doing my pulls, taking my turns, like pushing it. But I could just feel that like it wasn't on. My mentality was to, going into it for the race, was like to stay relaxed through as possible through 2K, and then to kind of start to put the foot on the pedal a little bit more and try to like pick up bodies as they fell off from the lead pack. And once I hit 2K and I'm like, I mentally wanted to do that, I tried to pick it up, I just felt like, oh, no, I don't have it today. Like my body, I can't speed up, like I'm slowing down, you know. So from that point on, it was just a grind fest, and it's like, all right, let's just see what we can do. And I definitely died, so it didn't go the way that I wanted it to. But overall, I mean, obviously I was disappointed, and I was like, yeah, that was a shitty race, you know, being at the back and running 13:20 odd. But I was like, I was happy that I gave it everything. And at the front, I think it was won by Hagos Gebruyesus in 12:51. So I mean, even those leaders like slowed down a lot and ran a lot slower than they wanted to. So I think even if I hadn't been sick, it still would have been a tough day for me to, you know, run a PB sub 13 and hit the standard, which is what I would have really liked to do, you know, in a 5K post-Olympics. But I don't think it was my day. And so then after that, just speaking with Dathan, we decided to end my season, because I was going to also race in Zagreb a 2K. But after I told him, like, yeah, I just don't feel like myself still, in terms of recovering from the sickness, he said, yeah, well, there's no point continuing for just, you know, a 2K, which I agreed with. Cause I mean, you guys are probably the same. I hate running when I don't feel like myself. And even, you know, on the warm up, like easy running warm up, I was still running probably about 30 seconds slower than I normally would per mile. Just, and I wasn't thinking about that too much, but just as a gauge for like how my body was going, I was like, yeah, that's probably not the best sign. And it didn't feel good. So I was very happy to hit the stop button on the season and just be able to fully let the body recover after that one. So I was disappointed, but then now since then I've just been able to recover and look after myself and just switch off mentally, especially, which has been nice. I've been on boyfriend coach duties a little bit. That night, Cinta also ran, and she ran a great 1500, 358.12, 0.01 off her PB Italian record, which was, it was, watching it was crazy because they had a red light for the Italian record. And so she was obviously right on it. And I was like, I couldn't tell if she got it or not, but still it was an amazing race. I think she came sixth in a really good field. So she crushed it, which was awesome. That was a nice silver lining for me being a part of that. And then last night I had the pleasure of being in Rovereto, where Cinta, Olivia, and Sage all competed. It is crazy how our team at this point is so disjointed. And like, you'll see your teammate for like, I saw them for two, like Sage and Olivia, I saw them for 2 days, you know, and then it's like, okay, I'll see you again in a month, more than a month. It's really weird because, you know, normally we're used to being together like literally every day. But it was a cool meet to be at. I think these more low-key Italian meets, they do it really well. They just look after you well. The vibe is good. It's pretty chill. It was good conditions. And Cinta and Olivia were competing in the 3K, which for Cinta was, you know, she's done a couple, but she's not as familiar with the event. Olivia, I think she's a bit more familiar. She crushed the 3K during the NCAA season. So she was feeling pretty good. But unfortunately with their event, there was a bit of an unraveling where they ended up not having a pacemaker. So there was no pacemaker, but a very talented field. And I think a lot of the women had bonuses for either, you know, like sub 840 or sub 845, like somewhere in that range. So they all wanted to run fast, but without a pacemaker and a 3K, you know, it's pretty tough. I think women can do it a lot better than men, to be fair, like go out and just like bust out those types of times. And it was Melissa Courtney Bryant that took it out, and she went out really quick. Like she went through 465, 66 ish and tried to keep it going. But there was like that inevitable big slowdown in the second K. But then the third K was really exciting because then it was proper racing. And Cinta and Olivia did amazing. They were going with 200 to go. They were, you know, leading the race at the front, going for it. Cinta ended up getting the dub, which was sweet in Italy. Olivia was in fourth because then a couple of the other 1500 meter girls had, you know, that kind of kick at the end. But I think she was also pretty happy with that race overall. And then I also got to watch Sage do very well. It was a bit of a crowded 800, but she was able to run 158 low for second place, season's best, also qualifier. So she was overall pretty happy with that. So it was cool to be a part of that. And then last night, got to drive back here, get back at 3 a.m., have a little sleep, and here we are, just enjoying life in Italy. So yeah, I'm just in a real chill vibe right now in terms of training, just trying to do, I mean, I'm really in the middle of nowhere, so there's like not much I can be doing anyway, but just trying to eat good food, enjoy time with Cinta's family. We have a couple of trips that we'll do and all that, even though Cinta's still competing. But
You got the big 5 days off?
Dude, I got the big 10 days off, I think.
Nice.
So nice. That was part of the conversation with Dathan. He's like, yeah, I think people are going to take 10 days off this year and then go back to every second day and then slowly get back into it. And that was nice as well because, you know, if you take your break a little bit earlier, you have the luxury of a slightly more gradual getting back into it, because at some point, you know, we all are doing the same training, we're all meeting back together. So being able to gradually slide back into that is pretty nice. But yeah, big for us that we're taking 10 days off, which it does make sense. I think after, you know, an Olympic cycle ending and a late Worlds next year, it's nice to have a little more time off for sure. But in general, I think I'll just be, you know, the next month, even, I think mentally until I'm back in America, it's really just like go off how you're feeling. You know what I mean? Like no pressure to really do anything. I mean, obviously I want to be fit. So like I already have the feeling of like, you know, I would like to be running and feeling good because it just makes me feel, my body feel better having like that kind of schedule, that routine. But yeah, it'll really just be like traveling around and just getting runs in, but not like all the stress of like, you know, doing it in a certain way or doing all like as much prehab and stuff, just chilling. So yeah, for the next month, that's the plan, at least till I get back to America. So yeah, that's Morgan's Italy trips.
Update. How many seats stadium had, the warm-up stadium?
Well, it's just like, I would say about 10 rows of, what would you call it? Like, you know, just like built-in seats. Rock. Yeah, just bench. Like there's no specific seats at the warm-up track, but it's just 10 rows of the, like built into the ground. Just so it'd be cool for an exhibition.
Yeah, if anyone's not clear, they hold it at the Rome Olympic Stadium instead, which is massive. It must have like,
it's far too big.
60,000 seats or something, 60,000 seats, which is fine in London.
I think it's 70 or 80.
Yeah, London, they hold it at the Olympic Stadium and they fill it. It is amazing. But Rome, they hold it at the Olympic Stadium and it's not full.
It's about a third full.
I was watching the stream and like there's not many people there, which kind of sucks when you hold it in a big stadium. It's like why they stopped holding it at the Paris Olympic Stadium. Like now they hold it at the smaller one. It almost feels like they should do that in Rome. But then maybe that was too small. I've never actually seen it. But.
Well, everyone says that that's why Florence is perfect, because Florence is that more middle ground and where they do fill it out and it gets a really good atmosphere. But yeah, Rome is far too big. It's the stadium where Roma plays. So like, I think everyone there is just, you know, they go see Roma, but for the track meets, it doesn't quite get the big enough crowd. But the warm-up track, the only other issue with it is I think it's like really small. It's long straights, really short pens. I don't think it's like the perfect dimensions, but it is a bit, it's a bit sad when you're at a track meet and it's mostly empty compared
not
to,
ideal. You know,
yeah, but it's tough to fit. Yeah, as we said, tough to fill out 80,000 people.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But no, it's still cool. It's still cool to be there. I think that's it pretty much. There was, it was good. It was good racing, but nothing too crazy. I keep getting confused for Tambari, actually. I will say that.
Like, people think you're Tambari?
Yeah, because so... Like one of the coolest things about meets in Italy is the kids go fucking crazy for the Italian athletes, especially like before and after the race. Like the public can walk around the outside of the warm-up track, and so they're just yelling. And so, and this happened last night in Rovereto because Tambari also competed there, and it happened in Rome. But there's like 10 like kids that are 200 meters away. Like they're so far away, so they can't really see. And they're just yelling Jimbo at me. And I just, it's so funny. He's so famous. It's just ridiculous.
Isn't Rovereto his home club? I thought that's why he always does Rovereto. Because I've seen him there like way too many times for it to be random, I feel like.
They unless probably he just pay really him likes so it. Much money. They probably pay him so much money to go there.
I thought it was his like, I thought someone told me it was his like home.
It is the home track for a lot of really good people.
We'll put a question mark on that one.
I don't know if it is, but it's the home track for like Yemen. It's the area of like Yemen Kripa. And he was there like celebrity status last night. Like I was watching the men's 3K and they just like, I think Yemen was just in the stands and then they just like, the camera just like pans to his face, you know, as if like celebrity status. He's just there watching. It's a big show. Yeah. So that aspect of the Italy meets is cool. The kids, like especially, I mean, for Cinta now that Cinta's really breaking through on the Italian scene as well, it's really cool to see after a meet how many people want to get pictures and how many people want to... The kids in Italy are ruthless about trying to get signatures and trying to get your bibs. They go crazy for it. It's always...
They're just ripping them off you?
Yeah, they just want you to rip it off. And give it to them. They're all yelling. They're all just competing for every single bib. So that's a really fun part of it. So... Yeah, but enough about me, enough about Italy. Let's move back to Zurich, back to Switzerland. So as we already mentioned, Ollie got in yesterday, competes tomorrow in the big Zurich Diamond League. How are we feeling? I know you mentioned you're a bit jet lagged, but I assume you had a big sleep last night.
11 hours.
Nice.
Went to bed at 11, woke up at 11. Woke up to turning around and looking at my phone and seeing Morgan say, hey, the podcast is happening. I was like, oh, fuck. rooming with Robert Farkin, which is cool. Fellow on athlete. And went to dinner last night with the on team, which is always lovely. They treat us so well. So it's nice to be with them. Nice to be back with Yard. He's already just telling me every run, all his post-season plans, and they're getting closer and closer, and he's getting more and more excited about them. So I hear about that a lot, every run we do. But yeah, no, I was glad I went home. The first day I was back in Boulder, I just felt mentally so much clearer and so much better, particularly just, I think, being not carrying around 700 bags, not having to kind of live out of a bag for a bit, being in your own bed, get back to your own routine for a little bit. It was really, really nice. I got to do things that were a bit different. I bought a shit ton of plants, like I mentioned before, and set up my place a little bit more where I live on Pearl Street. And yeah, it was nice. It was really, really nice and resetting. And then I got a couple of good workouts in. Got some good treatment in from Kyle. And yeah, was able to kind of give me the reset I needed to attack these last two races. And the way that I'm approaching Zurich is that, like, this race is like for me, you know, like I know the pacing, like Morgan mentioned in Rome, like every meet now just wants to have a world record happen at their meet. So they're going out in the 800 for the 1500 in 149, which would be a good 800 meter time a long time ago. Now it's just what we go out for in a 1500 meter race. So, I mean, really only one person can run that time, I think, personally. Under 3:26, but I think Yared, Cole, and Josh can be competitive in 3:27, under 3:27 potentially, depending on how they're feeling after the Olympics. But you know, there's going to be a big few seconds back for the rest of the field, and my goal is to I want to run a PB. I feel like every season, or every year as a professional runner, I've run a PB in my event of the 1500, and that's like my goal is to try and run a PB, so try and run 3:29, and that's just the way I'm approaching it. I'm going to try and stay competitive and push through and just see what happens. I'm pretty happy with where I am right now mentally, and physically I'm still in great shape. I'm still getting better in some workouts and runs, so right now I'm just looking forward to these last two races, and it's nice to have Yared to tag along with. And speaking of Yard, he had a great race in Düsseldorf, just missing getting the world record. The meet gave us a bag of beans. They're from Running Gags.
Wait, the Zurich meet gave everyone a bag of beans.
Yep.
That's very kind.
Oh, no, not everyone a bag of beans. Gave us a bag of beans, Coffee Club.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is from the meet at Düsseldorf. Bean shout out to them. You ran a great meet.
We did just lose George, by the way.
The world record, but...
Sorry. He's coming back, though. You're good.
You must have lost connection to Malta.
I'm back.
But yeah, shout out to Düsseldorf meet for thinking about us.
The Düsseldorf meat gave us beans. Now I'm understanding.
We also got this as well. Little pre-race coffee bag. But this is from the Düsseldorf meat that Yara dropped off to me. So thank you very much to them. That's very, very sweet of them to even think of us, even though we didn't go to their meat. We're going to have to go now and check it out. But shout out to them.
What do we think about Elliot Jars being the world record holder in the road mile? I think I was talking with Ollie before in the pre-show. That was a bit of a, I mean, I think probably Yared as well. Like, I thought Yared had that on lock, and I did not, I mean, I didn't even know that Giles was racing, but I would not have, when I saw the result, I was very surprised that he was able to stick with Yared and even get him at the end. I imagine Yared just took it out and was just being strong. And he's just like, I want my world record bonus today. And it's probably a lot of money for doing that. So yeah, I was just focused on that. But yeah, I was very surprised that Giles was able to bang out such a good performance.
What was word on the street, Ollie, from Yared?
Well, he was very much like, it was a Yared response, really. It was like, he was like, yeah, like, you know, I was tired. He got in like the day before, whatever. He was dehydrated. He said he had the worst drug testing experience of all time because he kept giving partials and the guys kept rushing him and they didn't speak any English. So stressed him out quite a bit. And then also when he could pee, he was about to like piss himself and they had a massive line of testing like the 5K guys. So he's like had to get ready to tell them like, hey, like he needs to go now, otherwise he's going to piss himself. So what a great drug testing experience for Yared. But he said it was okay. I think he didn't expect Giles to be there. And I think the last section of the race, he just didn't have the usual Yared flair, the Yared kick. And Elliot Giles is a good runner. He's run 3:31. And, you know, I think once you have it, when you're on, you've got a good day and you've got someone like Yared to gauge off, sometimes you can produce the magic, and Elliot Giles did that. So it was great for him to do that, and great to see, because he's had a pretty turbulent year with some of his results. But yeah, I think Yared probably needed a day or two before just to be more settled in Dusseldorf. And I think he would have probably done a lot better. But he seems to be okay with it. He's still got the American record, so that's still like, you know, a lot of money. So he's doing just fine.
Yeah. No, not worried about him. He's doing pretty well for himself. But yeah, I mean, it is funny. Giles is, like I say, I'm surprised, but also it does make sense, I feel like. I feel like that's the type of race that Giles would come out and do well in at the same time for whatever reason. So,
yeah.
But credit to him.
I don't agree
with
that.
It's an amazing performance. Like 3:51 on the roads is pretty crazy on a eligible course.
Sub 3:50 can't be that far away.
It's coming.
I reckon it'll get broken again.
Yeah. It's just very hard to find the right people on the eligible courses, because you actually, to make a mile an eligible course is somewhat inconvenient. You know what I mean? Because you have to put three turns in it, I think, in a mile. So it is difficult. But speaking of the mile, the road mile, what do we think of Josh Kerr doing the Zurich 5th Ave double? Did you guys see that?
They must be paying him so much.
They are paying him a lot.
That's literally my thought.
He's a defending champ and he's getting paid a lot of money. Yeah. So yeah,
it makes sense. But it means
he's getting more money. This is Josh Kerr being smart. Kermit the Josh. He's getting paid more money than he would if he won the Diamond League final and got bonuses from his contract. He's getting paid way more just for showing up. So why would you do the Diamond League final if you can do that and just, you know, go and participate in a great meet, which 5th Ave is a great meet. So
it is. It's amazing.
So
especially,
you know,
of Zurich.
Like, it just shows you the issues with
15.
It just shows you the issues with the Diamond League final. Like the value of the Diamond League final is just not in comparison to what it should be. Like if you have one of your top athletes going to a road race because he's going to be able to make a better financial decision for himself than going to like the biggest Diamond League meet potentially of the year, and you have to qualify for that meet as well. Like, it is kind of a bit weird, but you know, maybe the incentives will change. Maybe that will create more incentives here in the Diamond League circuit to put the money where the mouth is, so to speak.
Yeah, Kermit the Josh has always been one that hasn't been afraid to say no to a race, if that makes sense. He's very savvy with how he picks his schedule, and he does it in a way to, I think, both maximize his performance, but also his bank account. So I think once again, he is doing that, and yeah, good for him, I guess, credit to him. But speaking of also the Diamond League final, what do you guys think about Sydney McLaughlin doing the 200-400 double, getting the wild cards for both of those? I think that's so cool that she's doing it, but also I think it's crazy that like giving a wild card in a distance event is one thing, but giving a wild card in like that in the, and maybe they always do it, I'm not sure, but in the 200 and 400 where you're taking a lane from someone else who would otherwise qualify, I'm imagining. I mean, she can do whatever she wants, I guess. She's Sydney McLaughlin, but.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I would love to see it.
200, 400 double. I mean, they're on different days. and she's run so fast in both of them this season. So it makes sense for her to be able to go actually compete against the best in the world in both those events. That'll be sweet. But
I do really want to see her in the four, because I'm pretty sure the girl who won the Olympics in the 400,
was it Polino?
Starts with M, Polino, Polino from
Polino. No,
where's she from? Central Dominica.
I think she,
no, some Central American country, right? She, I don't think she's lost a race like this whole year, or even I don't know when the last time she lost a 400. So that it would be really cool to watch her go up against someone like Sydney who can run really fast.
Dominican Republic.
Oh, that was right.
Yeah, nice. That'd be sick.
How about the 100? Wait, is the 100 this 100 in Zurich this weekend? Is it the Diamond League 100?
Yes, we have to talk.
Or is it just a 1v1 100? Like, are they lining up in the 100 meter, or is it a separate race?
It's just them.
It's just them. It's a separate race. It's on the 14th, sick. I think. Is it on the 14th or 13th?
I want to know some like viewership stats for this.
No, I think it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow?
Yeah, it's on the 4th. Tomorrow.
Who are you guys picking?
I've seen, so Curtis Marshall is good mates with Mondo, and I had coffee with Curtis yesterday, and he showed me some block starts from Mondo, and let's just say very, very fucking impressive. Very impressive.
Okay, so, I believe that. But also,
I could see Mondo like, running 10-2.
God damn.
10-2.
Like, just honest.
Warholm is also known for his first 100, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm picking Warholm
so hard.
For sure.
I think they both just want to run quick. I don't think they're like, they don't care if they win or lose. I think they just want to run really quick.
What? No, that's literally.
They just want to win.
The opposite of what they said.
They backed out. They backed out on the interviews. They kind of went like, yeah, like it'd be good to win, but like I want to run really quick. Like, they kind of did that kind of vibe.
I saw the quote from Mondo. The quote from Mondo, he said, I don't care if I. He said, I would rather run 10.6 and win than run 10.2 or 3 and come second.
Yeah.
Really?
I feel like running fast is nothing for them. It's literally just a matchup.
I thought it was the opposite. My bad. I think I misread the interview. Because I thought they were saying that they don't care if they run. I mean, they care if they run like 10, they go around 10.3. Like, they don't care if they lose. They just want to run quick. That's my bad.
If you want to see a fast 100, watch the 100. watch the guys that run the 100. If you want to see a funny race between a pole vaulter and a 400 hurdler, then you watch these guys.
I think it'll be such a good race. I'm so happy that it's actually happening.
I'm going to pick Mondo too.
Oh, you're picking Mondo as well? I'm picking Warholm. I just want to see him try to put all that rage and testosterone that he puts into a 400 meter hurdles into just a 100, and I think he's going to explode.
I hope if he wins, I hope he rips his jersey like he went in the Olympics. That'd be so good.
I bet he will.
I actually wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, me too.
I'm going Mondo.
Mondo's such. I mean, yeah. I guess
Mondo's. I don't know. I've just seen the block starts.
We'll see. I think Warholm's start in 400 hurdles is just so good. So,
and that's not in a straight line. Like, that's around a curve. So it'll look so much better straight.
Either way, it's going to be sick. So we'll check in next week, see what the results are. But I think, is there anything else from Zurich, or should we move into our biggest, like, non-race specific news of this week of Mr. Pavej Khan testing positive for EPO.
Oh, God.
News that shocked the running world for sure. He was quickly becoming a fan favorite, one of the most beloved athletes for people to watch. I think one, his swagger, the way he would finish races, and two, just seeing someone from a country that you don't typically see do well in an event like India in the 1500 meters is always exciting. And he's very young. He was starting college, you know, so it was like so good.
He was breaking Indian national records like week in, week out. Do you guys remember watching regionals and NCAAs? If he was in the race, the commentators, even indoors, the commentators would only talk about him like the entire race. He was like the commentator's dream. But what I didn't realize, quick aside, is he's the second NCAA athlete in like a month to get banned. Did you guys see
who
the
else
other
got banned?
Peter Maru from Arkansas.
What?
Yeah, but he was out. Like, he was out of the NCAA. Like, it was postseason. Like, not coming back, I mean.
That's crazy. I gotta look that
but
up.
But it didn't. Yeah, look that up real quick.
Yeah,
3-year ban for alleged doping. So, which doesn't actually you say what was that?
AIU. 3 years of eligibility. Yeah.
So that was like a month after that was COVID.
He had only joined Arkansas this past winter. So he was only just there. It doesn't say why.
What were we pre-show? Do we think he was doing it at Florida, or do we think he just did it when he got back to India?
I just don't see he'd be in the dorms, right? If he's in the dorms, he has a roommate. Like, his roommate would notice if this guy was freaking doping, you know?
Yeah, but if his roommate
he was doing
track,
in India.
If his roommate's not someone from track, they might just have no clue what's going on.
Yeah, that is a good point. They might just think, oh, this is just a normal thing. That is true.
He might not have drug tested the whole NCAA season. That is a pretty realistic thing. So it's hard to say either way, but it's hard. It's also hard to imagine someone at Florida like getting and taking EPO. I guess you could bring it from somewhere. I guess there's probably a way. But yeah, we should clarify. Yeah, he did test positive. I think it was in June when he had already... Was it a meet in India? I don't know if it was the national championships, but it was, I think it was in India where he did test positive. And then the other layer to it is that there has in the past few months been a lot of crazy talk about drugs and like specifically at the India. Did you guys see the story about the Indian national championships where for the men's 100, they had like... They found out that they were going to get drug tested after the people that made the final found out that they were going to get drug tested after the final. And then I think like one or two people turned to the final.
I saw that.
Jesus.
So it's not a good look right now in India already. And then you have this up and coming star. And yeah, it's crazy that he's based in America, Florida. That's another layer, which I guess it doesn't look good for Florida, but I mean, it looks way better that he didn't test positive, like literally being at Florida at the time. I think that's an easy kind of out for them. But either way, it's big shock, unexpected news. And
what's going to happen to him now? Is he going to like, Florida going to like kick him out? Or like what's, because he might be on scholarship. Like,
yeah,
he
definitely
deleted all of his Instagram posts apparently before the news.
He deleted his Instagram, did he?
Or like all his running posts, I think. I thought I read that. So I didn't actually check.
Does anybody follow him on Instagram?
I do not.
There's no way he's going back.
Bro, he's got 60k followers.
Dude. Indian athletes always have massive.
Yeah, always posted done.
There's no post there?
Yeah,
no running post.
No post.
No running post, nothing.
Wow.
No post at all.
Shit.
I wonder if that means like the drug testing in the NCAA. I mean, that's what you don't know. Like, drug testing in the NCAA needs to step up, or
yeah. I mean, there isn't much drug testing in the NCAA. I think if you win an NCAA title, at least in my time, if you win an NCAA title, you get tested every time. I got tested once after Big Tens in my 5 years. And then I think I had a few tests from Wisconsin, but also when you get tested from your school, it's not the same stringent policy as getting tested from an outside agency as well. So it's,
Are they even testing for EPO then? Or is it mostly for like weed?
Yeah, that's what, that was my other question. Are they testing for
that stuff?
It's for like steroids and shit.
Yeah, just, I think, making sure the football players aren't partying too hard with those tests, to be honest. So, yeah, either way, it's so sad to see another seemingly good one, an exciting story go out.
That's hashtag not good for the sport.
Yeah, not good for the sport. Fuck.
Not at all. Not at all. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we never hear anything from him again. You know what I mean? Like, that's just it now. He's just going to go radio silent, probably not come back to the US and all that. So, very, very, very sad. Very sad for us. But, yeah. I think with that, is there anything else that you boys would like to cover today?
How do you guys feel about your fantasy teams?
I haven't even looked at mine. Fuck.
Come on,
you were auto-drafted?
You were probably awake last night when the draft happened.
Oh, it was at like 3 a.m., wasn't it?
You were up till 3 a.m. It was like, whoever set it up in the U.S. really rigged it for us. Not that if I drafted it myself, it would have been any better.
That's what I was going to say. I think draft was my best strategy.
Probably would have been worse, actually. But
how many teams am I in?
How many leagues are you in?
Yeah, I don't even know how many leagues I'm in.
That's a great question.
But are you guys on the sleeper? Is it the sleeper app?
Yeah. What I remember is that I got Jared Goff as my QB. I got a bunch of Detroit Lions, actually, in my auto draft.
I also got some Detroit Lions. I haven't even looked. Let's see the league. Who's in our league?
It's like 14 people. It's actually a pretty sizable lead.
Joe Klecker's in it. I didn't know Joe Klecker was. Zach Snyder's in it. Sam Chris in it.
No. I'll check it later. I don't even know how to log in right now.
Let's see, though. Looking already. I mean, early days, obviously, but it's looking pretty even.
I could tell you who your quarterback is.
Please.
Why is it league? Oh. You have Josh Allen.
I don't know how to feel about that. I don't know how to feel about that. I feel like...
You also have Travis Kelce, CD Lamb, and a bunch of other randoms.
Travis Kelce, okay, that's a big name. That's a big name right there. There was rumors about him and Taylor Swift breaking up, though, so I don't know if that's good. Good tight ends, dude. Good tight ends crush. And they're very reliable.
Ollie, who's your quarterback? What's your name?
Alan Richardson, which I'm not super happy about.
What the hell is that?
He's a Colts, the Colts QB.
Colts, yeah, that's that doesn't sound great. All right. As the season goes on, hopefully we get more acquainted with our teams and we can do a better recap of how the fantasy season is going.
Well, I can look at my team now and I'm to be honest, I hate the auto draft now because I did not get... Oh, I got Derrick Henry, though. AJ Brown. Sam Laporta's pretty fucking good too. Who's on my bench?
It's crazy that when we get back, it's just gonna be like all everything like that happens in the fall in the US is just gonna be like football season, like college football season's already started.
Bro, the freaking cross country race in Buffalo Park already happened. What's it called?
Yeah, we gotta give shout out to T Day.
Yeah, big shout out to T Day.
Big shout out, Sasquatch is back. He's back.
I'm actually what so was it? A bit over 1,000 days? 1,000 days?
It was like 1,300 days.
1,300?
I think he hadn't raced since before COVID.
Checks out.
He raced in that very first sound running 10K and he didn't finish.
Mm. Yeah.
That was his one race in 20. I think that was the end of 2020. Like that December one. Pretty sure.
That is wild. Good to see him back on the track.
That's some perseverance, if you've ever seen it before.
Yeah, fucking talk about perseverance.
He ran pretty good. He came like third, which that's hard Buffalo Park. Some transfer one, though. He must be kind of good.
Damn. Anyway, I don't know where he's from.
Yeah. I hope T-Day makes the LA Olympic marathon team. That's my prediction.
That'd be such a good story.
Like a Jake Riley story.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome. T-Day.
Shout out to T-Day. Well, I think with that we can wrap up episode 151. Ollie, best of luck. I suppose it'll be another instance of you racing concurrently with the podcast being released. Actually, you'll probably have already raced by the time the podcast comes out, so But best
also, I've noticed, fun fact, that I've raced like almost every single 1500 meter Diamond League this season.
What do you mean?
Except for the only ones I haven't raced is Doha and Marrakesh. I've raced every single other one this year.
Seriously?
Yeah, I did pre, Oslo, London, Monaco, and then Lausanne, and now Zurich and Brussels.
Those are pretty good numbers.
I don't think that's a good thing, but it's just a fun fact yeah, because I think like it's very difficult to race in a couple of them, but I've been able to race in a lot of them, so that's been a huge positive.
What would it take for you to switch to the fifth mile with Josh instead of going to Brussels?
That'd take getting paid yeah, something.
How much money are we talking?
Yeah,
honestly, if they paid
we'll
for
say this now on pretty the good. Pod, so then if Sam's
if they paid
listening,
me like if they paid me like business class seats and then a couple of stacks, then I'm in.
Couple of stacks in business class. All right, if Sam listens, I don't know if he does.
I reckon they would do that. That's a crazy thing. I think they would do that to you, Ollie. 100%.
Let's get Ollie.
But I've never won. I've never won. Like I think Josh.
You've gotten second though.
I got second. Yeah,
yeah, second. And you've crushed in. Like you crushed at the Armory. It's you know New York Red Run is. It's all the. You're
yeah.
a big.
Well,
you're
we'll
a
see. We'll see. Yeah, if they reach out, then I'll change my mind.
I would love to love see. To and see and we'll make sure that everyone knows that it's purely financial. So then, just a big fuck you to the Diamond League.
Right. Yeah, then I'll never Ollie's get into a Diamond League again.
No, because this one you qualified for, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I did qualify for this one.
Yeah, you know, pissing.
Let's get Ollie a nice bonus to finish the season from New York Roadrunners.
Make it happen, people. Make it happen.
Let's get him on a flight to New York.
That'd be so good. That'd be amazing. All right. Well, that's it for episode 151. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you, boys. It's been a pleasure. We look forward to seeing you all again next week.